live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to another week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And I'm Rich.
Did you try to steal my spot, dude?
No.
Don't take my spot, man.
I'm always sitting over here.
It was just me. I was going to say, and over there.
Oh, okay. All right, my apologies.
See, we don't plan this stuff ahead of time.
No.
So,
we don't plan anything, really.
In case you haven't heard this show before, you can read more about us at chatterboxgameshow.com or even just chatterboxers.com if you don't feel like typing. If you're there now, you can join in our live chat. We've got Rich manning the boards.
So I am.
If you're talking in the chat room, Rich might even talk back to you, and maybe we'll get some good content.
There's
the show.
A slight possibility.
I'm actually going to ask that the people define what we talk about today, because for weeks and weeks, even since before E3, I've been talking about how, we did one show on basically why games suck today. And it's not that all games suck, but like there's this prevalence of crap, and really anytime you get...
It's really almost all of them, like maybe about 98%.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to just cut it by numbers, yeah, it probably is, right? We focus on the stuff that's not crap because we know what we're talking about, and by we, I mean us and all the chatterboxers out there. But so we did this show on basically why games are crap, and we were able to essentially sum it down to the fact that games are made basically by money and accountants, with the keyboard strokes coming from the programmers.
Got's no time to make good game, got to make that money.
Yeah. So passion is pretty much removed from the equation these days, except for the few games that you and I know of and actually play. But for the most part, it's the Hannah Montanas, which are supposed to apparently be good this
apparently.
Time around. But the reason is that they focused on, well, what's a good game out there? Let's emulate it.
You
right?
know, I'm
and
so jealous.
Hannah Montana license on it.
I wish I had a name that rhymed. I mean, other than the fact that it sounds totally dorky, Hannah Montana, it just rolls off the lips there.
It is nice. I have a feeling it's a fake name, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure.
In fact,
I know it is
it
because
up.
Her last name is Cyrus.
Okay, well, somebody please think of a last name that rhymes with Ara.
Actually, Cyrus is probably also a fake stage name. Her dad is Billy Ray Cyrus, I believe.
I have no idea. Why do you know this?
I don't remember.
What
someone
you,
someone
what
told
are you reading
me.
About on the internets here about Hannah Montana?
He's tight with the Cyruses in Montana.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we talked about what makes games crap, and I figured as a responsible program, we should also be discussing the potential for making good games. What we could do, by we, I mean game designers in the industry, perhaps, what could be done, at least in a theoretically perfect world.
And game consumers, actually.
I guess have the power to...
Because really, I mean, you know, on the micro scale, they have absolutely no power, right? But in the aggregate, they have the most power over everyone.
They're actually, unfortunately, what has steered things downhill.
It is, because people... I'm not going to get into the whole diatribe, but just to say real quick, you know, they just want to see explosions. So, this has pretty explosions, and it's prettier than last year, so I'm going to buy this one.
And Rich might be upset to hear that they like good textures.
Or sweaty foreheads or whatever, you know?
So here's the problem. We have all this stuff we want to talk about this week that is not related to that topic, which would cover an entire show. And so I'm curious if people want to hear us talk about that stuff and just sort of spout off about it.
Maybe we should do a vote.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. I don't think it would be a clean vote because we don't have a representative sample of our entire listening audience who listens live.
Yeah, but we'll get about 5,000-7,000 people.
Yeah. For the record, by the way, you can listen live if you go to the show, and a few people are doing that right now. You're probably listening to this over a podcast, though. Now, if you are, and in fact, even if you're listening live, during the next segment of the show, we're gonna have the Piano Squall. Should I use his real name?
Is that his real name? It's not his real name.
That's the only name I know him by.
He's called Piano Squall, right?
Yep.
And he put out this CD of gaming music. So we're going to have him on just to talk about what he's doing here and how it's kind of a good cause. And anyway, we'll talk to him during the second segment just because I want to hear his take on it. And Rich, this week you were asking me. You're over the house. You're like, hey, where's that CD? I heard it was really good. So anyway.
And really, it was is a good enough.
Yeah, you were there too. I mean, we played it. Did you like it?
No, you didn't play it for me. That must be your other friend, Ara, that you're mistaking me for.
Well, everyone was over at my house Saturday.
Yeah, you were playing Gears of War, I think.
Oh, yeah. All I heard was like, S, F. So
that's pretty much how that game goes. Yeah. Okay, so maybe you didn't catch it, but...
Yeah, totally missed it, dude.
Rich did, and I believe Rich liked it a lot. So anyway, we'll talk to Piano Squall, and I bet there's even a website here. Whatever, he'll tell me. Go to pianosquall.com. That's probably the right place. And he'll tell us in the next segment. All right, so...
Either that or you better register to that website real quick.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so real quick, Ari, you brought a whole set of things that you wanted to talk about as well.
Yeah, you know what? I'm totally fired up tonight, but you know what? I'm going to be pretty fired up no matter what we talk about. So, I mean, you guys have at it.
All right, well, you came in saying that you really wanted to talk about Dirt. And this is a game that I had the chance to play for like 2 minutes when you brought it over to my house last week. So what is your concern about Dirt?
All right. So I was thinking of like, you know, since people have been complaining about, you know, us just giving off-the-cuff impressions about games and then being like, oh, it's not fair, like, blah, 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 you're always complaining. And, you know, I always say that, like, look, we don't do reviews. We're just talking about impressions. You know, we're just talking about, like, oh, well, I like this and I like that. I'm not going to give a whole, like, fair review.
Well, so, it might be perfectly valid to simply critique one small part of a game.
Certainly, although some people don't think so. But anyway, so I thought, you know what? Why don't I give some impressions and give it, like, a more... kind of like a fuller impression of the game instead of just like I hate X, Y, and Z. I'll tell you about like all the other things I hate about the game too.
Like A through F?
And for the record, I think he's able to do this not because he chose to play a game because he does Chatterbox, but he played the game of his own accord because he wanted to play the game.
No, actually,
and bring
Dirt,
that experience to Chatterbox.
Dirt is very, very cool. You know, I love racing games. I love rally racing. And it's a very, very nice game. And so I do have some good things to say about it, and I have a lot of criticisms of it, of course.
Let's clarify up front, what is Dirt?
Okay, so Dirt is the latest Colin McRae game, and nobody knows who Colin McRae is because he's a rally racer, and they don't do rally racing in this country. They do it in the UK. But anyway,
it's
rally racing.
Colin
so
McRae.
It's like off-road racing, and I think that like this time they're like, oh, well, you know, nobody knows what rally racing is, so we're just going to, instead of calling it Colin McRae's Dirt, we're just going to call it Dirt, and we're going to add a whole bunch of other events that are not necessarily rally racing. So we have, there's like sand buggies, and there's like, you know, I don't know, like 12-ton garbage truck style things that, you know, because they just get too bored drifting like 1.5 tons of metal. They have to drift like 5 or 6 tons. And then there's like big trucks, and there's actually like this one crazy race with like a 1,200 horsepower big rig, and that was kind of ridiculous. But anyway, you know, they're trying to make the product feel a lot fuller by putting all these features in.
Taking a cue from THQ's stable of games.
Well, you're taking it. I think actually this was incited by, you know, what Sony did with MotorStorm, which is, oh, you have all these different types of cars racing at once.
MotorStorm doesn't really have
terrible
that many different cars.
Right. But I mean, ever since that happened, it's very interesting. And I won't tell you how I know this, but. You know, there's been, like, a lot of publishers have felt pressure to kind of showcase that, oh, we have a lot of vehicles, too. You know, we're not just one type of car racing game. We're a whole bunch of type of car racing game. And, you know, Rich is laughing over here, and he's right because it's totally ludicrous, right? Because the quality of the game has nothing to do with how many different types of cars are in it. Anyway, my point is that, you know, they tried to, like, make the game appeal to a larger audience by broadening the scope. And all these extra modes are just kind of like crap. They're just like, there's no reason for you to play them. The regular rally part was really cool. What I thought was really awesome is what they did with the difficulty system, which is, you know what? Every time you go into a race, you just pick what difficulty you want. And if you want a harder difficulty, well, guess what? You get more money. So that's it's very nice and slick, right? Because.
Well, what is money used for?
Well, then you buy more cars with the money and stuff, okay. You know? And, you know, there could be like balancing issues with, you know, that kind of thing, right? But I just thought it was very, very elegant and nice and slick to, you know, give the player the control over the difficulty, but then, you know, you actually get a corresponding reward. You know, one thing I really hate in games is that, like, you know, they'll put a difficulty meter in it. Like, you can change between, like, normal, easy, and hard, but they're like, oh, let's just let the player do it, like, change it any time, because, you know...
I'm not sure if you realize it, but that's the same thing they do in Guitar Hero.
That is, and that's good too, and it's good in this game.
Yeah, totally different game.
I'm not saying it was the first time it was done. I'm just saying, like, it's very nice to have that kind of thing.
So I have a feeling we have more to talk about on this subject. All,
yeah,
of course, coming from Ara, an active game designer working on a car racing game right now.
That's true.
So we'll be back after the break with Pianist Wall.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and my name's Ara, your...
One half of the three-person host team?
Yes. I was trying to say something like some kind of like premature speakification, but...
We should figure this out, because every week we do the whole one half, one half, one half, and then we discuss for the next minute about how we have three halves hosts.
Listen, that's fine. That's what gives the show flavor. Anyway, what you heard there for the intro music was actually one of the tracks from Piano Squall's CD called Game. And do we have him available?
We do. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you. So should we be calling you Piano Squall or use your real name?
You can call me Michael.
Okay, fantastic. That makes me feel...
You should keep it a secret.
I'm out of costume tonight.
Hey, how's it going, Michael?
I'm going great. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. We've only got about 10 minutes or so before we have to go to break, so I just want to get right into it. First of all, just tell me about what it is you do, this particular album, and if you've had other albums or, you know, musical stuff that you've given to us that I didn't know about before this.
What I do is just about the nerdiest thing a human being can do.
No, you don't have a radio show about video games.
No. Many people would challenge you on that, but go ahead.
Really? Well, it's up there. So for my whole life, I've been playing video game and anime music on the piano. I've been arranging music for piano. And in 2003, I took my act on the road, and I started going all over the U.S. doing video game and anime music piano concerts. And... just trying to raise money for a bunch of different charities. I do cancer research, multiple sclerosis research, food drives, all kinds of stuff. And just have a lot of fun playing concerts. After 4 years of doing live shows, I noticed that there never had been an independent musician who had published a piano solo CD of video game and anime music before. And all the ones that did exist were published by the companies who own the copyrights, and they were all very expensive. So I went out and I licensed my 17 favorite tracks, and I put together my own piano CD of video game and anime music, all my favorite pieces. And I published it for $9.99, and I shipped free anywhere in the United States. And it's been really great. I'm working with video game publisher Electronic Arts on this, and together we're donating 20% of the profits from this album to multiple sclerosis. So it's not only great, great fun to get this music out there in the world, but it's also a great cause that I've been supporting for a lot of years.
I certainly appreciate that part. I know
that's pretty sweet. That's not geeky at all. I got to ask you though. And I'll tell you in a second why I'm asking this.
Sure.
What got you into just music in general?
It was Final Fantasy IV.
Yes.
I like how we have a system of asking questions and then telling them why we ask a question.
I'm not kidding. It was Final Fantasy. I was 9 years old when I played Final Fantasy IV, and I remember I was just sitting on the floor on my ass in front of an old crappy TV and my Super Nintendo, and I heard the Prelude theme. And that was it. I didn't know how to play piano, but we had a piano in our house, and I just started trying to find the melody and trying to teach myself. And I did that for a couple years, and eventually, you know, I just started to study, got lessons, and took it seriously. And I've actually been a video game pianist since the first time I played piano.
So I'm going to ask you...
Wait, I haven't told him why I was asking the question.
I thought you were kidding about
that. No, I'm serious.
Oh, okay.
No, because I just wanted to show you, make sure that, you weren't as big a dork as you say you were.
Well, I'm going to measure his nerdiness in a minute.
You know what? Like, I do a little bit of composition on the side.
Cool.
And like, you know, it's just like, I'm just dabbling, right?
He loves the keyboard mania, too.
So that's what I was going for. You know what? You know what? It looks like you put a tremendous amount of energy and effort into, you know, your pursuit. And I think that that's totally kick butt. And I think that's really awesome. And, you know, I wish you all the best with that. You know, because all I've done was, you know, play this stupid game called Keyboard Mania. And I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Actually, I played it in Japan.
Yeah. So, like, this game actually got me into, you know, music composition, specifically that game. But, you know, I've made absolutely nothing of it to show for myself other than I can play Keyboard Mania.
I think that's pretty damn impressive, because when I was in Japan and I saw Keyboard Mania, now I play DDR a lot.
Right.
So, you know, I figure, you know, I'm kind of a klutz, but I can play DDR. So when I saw Keyboard Mania, it's one octave keyboard. I said,
It's got two octaves, actually.
It's two octaves. I figure this is going to be the easiest thing in the world, you know, compared to a full 88 key piano.
Right.
So I go over to the machine thinking I'm, you know, all great. And I figure I'm going to start off on medium. And it's the hardest thing in the world. I couldn't. With two hands, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. You know what's really funny is that it's not that it's hard. It's just that, like, it's the, like, no matter how good you are at the real instrument, it's the interface that's new to you, right?
Makes no difference. So, it's like Guitar Hero and guitar.
Right.
It doesn't help.
You don't understand. Ara actually, he has a monitor, which he has specifically because it is as wide as the keyboard of Keyboard Mania.
Well, yeah, you have to do that because there's too many keys. You can't look at them, right?
Yeah, so the keyboard's sitting right in front of the monitor, touching the monitor, so that when the bar drops in the game, it drops directly to the key that's in front of his finger. It's ingenious,
well,
actually. It makes the game much easier.
Yeah, helpful.
Yeah, the really interesting thing is that, like, these skills, right, like actual real, like, usable music skill that gets chicks and... You know,
I don't know about that.
And the not real Keyboard Mania skill, it's very, very surprising how non-transferable they are.
And you're absolutely right. And I walked away from that machine a complete idiot and humbled by the difficulty that is required to play Keyboard Mania on a two-octave keyboard.
I'll have you know that my ability to dance on a grid of nine squares was greatly enhanced by my DDR skill.
You know what? True, but if I put you in a club, you'd probably look as big of a klutz as I am.
Hey, I get in the cage and on stage like nobody's business.
All right.
So I don't want to talk about Keyboard Nerdy all show. So
I promised I was going to measure your nerdiness. So you said that
you got me pretty good. Yes.
You said that it was Final Fantasy IV that got you into it, but if I recall, Final Fantasy IV never even came out in America. And when you were a kid playing it, were you really?
It was called Final Fantasy II.
Okay, so you were playing the old school version. But
I was playing the Super Nintendo American renamed Final Fantasy II.
Which was actually on the NES, not the Super Nintendo.
Well, Super Nintendo, Final Fantasy II was actually for the Super Nintendo.
What? Rich.
Final Fantasy II.
Yeah.
I think he's just trying to confuse you by his...
It's all confusing with the names, but you see, they renamed FF4, FF2 in America.
And I thought 2 was on the NES and 3 was on the Super Nintendo.
No. 2 Japan was on the NES.
It's all
confusing with the name.
No, 2 US was on the Super Nintendo.
Alright, well, clearly you're the nerd and I'm not. I win.
Japan.
You know what? Now it's all confusing how they named it. I don't know what the marketing team was doing on that one.
Alright, well,
they just slapped numbers on it. Doesn't matter.
That's fine. Rich, were you even old enough to play Final Fantasy II?
I never played Final Fantasy II.
How old is this guy? Like 12?
He's not allowed to drink yet.
I think my first experience with Final Fantasy was the first one when I was like 3 years old, and I'd watch my cousin play it. But I never owned a Super Nintendo, so I never played Final Fantasy II.
You get out
for sure.
Okay,
so
apparently I'm the biggest dork here.
Come on,
right. This conversation's over.
All right, yeah, we're definitely.
I'm hanging up.
He never had a Super Nintendo. All right, so Michael, this past Saturday I had these gentlemen over my house, and Rich was saying how much he wanted to hear the music, and finally I got him his very own copy of the CD, which he provided to us.
So all right.
I appreciate that. Now,
my pleasure.
I was asking you before the show, are you going to be at PAX this year?
Penny Arcade. I'm not going to be at Penny Arcade this year, but some good friends of mine, hold on, you're going to get a show. Some very good friends of mine who have a video game music band. They're called The One-Ups. And they run a publishing company called One Up Studios. And they are fantastic.
All right,
they are great friends of mine, and you should go see their show if you go to PAX.
We definitely will. We get to cut to the head of the line because we're press.
Nice.
That's crazy. Anyway, I want to thank you very much, Michael. The website where people can visit and buy your CD, what is that?
It is pianosqual.com. PianoSQUALL.com. You got a free demo up there and some videos and some free sheet music. Even if you don't want the CD, at least check out the website. Yeah. You'll love it.
And even if you don't want the CD, just buy it anyway.
And if you do go to PAX, I think we're going to even have some copies to give out at PAX if I can convince Michael to provide some to us. So thank you very much for coming on the show. We have to go to break. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Mario, you're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
Welcome back again to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
My name's Ara.
And over there is Rich. He's typing on the old keyboard.
I'm here.
Head over to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to join in the chat, talk to us during the show. By us, I mean Rich, who will then tell us if you see anything interesting, which apparently is rare since we haven't heard from Rich much this show.
And if you want to call in, if you're actually listening live.
Oh, yeah, you can do that too.
866-536-1100.
We have telephones.
Yeah. And if you want
to. We have technology.
If you want to join us in studio, all you have to do is get a scholarship or pay your way through UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. Apparently, we take all of their students, as Rich is one of them, and I was myself. Not actually part of the university, but they do sponsor the show, so we like to mention them every once in a while. We want to keep talking about games, but before we do that, I want to thank once again Michael Gluck, the Piano Squall, for taking time with us today. And if you want to go get his CD or hear his demo or whatever, you can head over to pianosquall.com. That's piano, P-I-A-N-O, squall, S-Q-U-A-L-L.com. And, yeah, like I said, hopefully I'm going to have some of those, some copies to give away at PAX. So if you're part of the Chatterbox Treasure Box, you can maybe win some of those. Or, well, at least one. I'm not going to give you lots of them. Anyway.
You wouldn't want more than one. Yeah.
Really. So we were talking about Dirt before...
Dirt!
Before the last segment.
Yes, Dirt, the video game.
The rally racing game from Codemasters.
Yeah, so you guys know I love rally racing. So here's some more things I'd like to complain about. Travis Pastrana's voice. As you may know, Travis Pastrana used to be a...
Isn't he a skater?
Sounds familiar.
MX.
Oh, MX. They're all the same.
Guy. Yeah. And he was like, this is too boring. I need more horsepower. So he started rally racing. His voice is all over the game. Just completely and utterly annoying.
Is he the announcer who basically talks to you about what's going to happen?
Yeah, he talks I'm Travis Pastrana. Why don't you go into the options menu and please don't turn off my voice. Oh, yeah, you can't because I'm so annoying.
It is a very kind game. There's a lot of please and thank yous going on.
Well, he talks, it's just overbearing. Like, in the beginning, you're like, yeah, this is kind of cool. And, like, I can understand, like, the motivation. Like, oh, yeah, we want to make the, whole experience, like, I hate to say it, but, like, more immersive, and, it's Travis Pastrana. And,
like a TV show, I think, like ESPN.
I don't know, like, something like that, but, like, I mean, like, just, like, come on, like, just shut up, Travis, I just want to race, like, you don't have to be commenting after every race, like, I know how well I did, you don't have to be, like, we'll do better next time, or, oh, yeah, you really rocked that one, like.
Can you seriously not turn his voice off?
I don't think you can turn his voice off.
Well, is it, like, the same sentence every single time?
No, it's not that it's repetitive, okay. like that. It's just the fact that he just won't shut up.
Okay.
So there's the other thing. Okay, here's another thing, is that they do this weird camera thing, right, where in the previous Colin McRae games, people complained, now unfairly, I believe, because in a third-person camera, they're like, oh, it looks like the car's rotating on a stick. You guys know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, sure. Where the world moves and the car just...
Yeah, basically, when you turn, right? I mean, it's turning about an axis that's in the middle of the screen, and this axis doesn't move, so it has this effect of, the car is just simply rotating in the middle of the screen. Okay, guys, there was nothing wrong with that, okay? Some cocky press guy was like, oh, look, I don't know what to criticize, but here's something I noticed, so I'm going to criticize it. And then, so it somehow became, like, this mark of shame to have this in the game. Right. So what do they do? Right. What they do is, like, when you turn around now, when you're on a turn, the camera actually, like, bows outward. right, so that the car is not exactly in the center of the screen anymore.
That's weird.
Which, it is very weird. It's very disconcerting.
I actually like that.
You know, I shouldn't say disconcerting. That's the total wrong word. It's disorienting. You know, it makes it harder for you to read the road ahead of you when you're making a turn. This crazy thing they do when you go off a jump now is that when you hit the ground, they, like, add this extra bounce in the camera, so you think you're hitting the ground about 12 times harder than you really
intense.
Are. And that's the thing. Like, it's too
immersive.
Over the top. You know, so that kind of pisses me off. You know, like, when you finish a race and you win, you know, here comes Travis again. He's like, oh, yeah, you did so great, and you totally, and he does, like, you know, I don't remember all the words he uses, but, you know, he's, like, too cool for school, right? So, like, oh, yeah, you totally blew the doors off that one. And they're showing you, like, the grid of, like, the events, and there's these explosions, like, and, like, oh, yeah, you just totally blew open that event. I'm like, come on, guys, like, you won, that's good, but, like, it's a little too over the top.
Now, I've been thinking about, very seriously, thinking I have to buy a new car lately because mine's about to die. Do you think if I took a Yaris or a Honda Fit or something on the rally track that it would be as explosive?
Dude, you should totally do that. I think that you probably would last like about half a race. But,
before it all fell apart?
Yeah, well, you know, considering that like a normal car, you know, if you do a jump on the street, you'd probably just totally destroy it. You know, the exhaust.
I'm just thinking, would we expect Travis to be as exuberant if it wasn't a full rally racing car with all that horsepower?
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to see Travis, like, you know, kind of like, maybe he'll get annoyed at you sometimes. Maybe be like, look, dude, you're not driving right.
Well, it's not a Japanese game.
You know.
If it were, they'd be telling you, you suck. But it's an English game.
Yes. Well,
this game
know.
Says, please press start.
Well,
he's
no Nigel Mansell, that's for sure. Okay, the last thing I wanted to say about this game is that, and this is actually, I think I kind of told you about this last week, not on the show though. This is kind of like endemic of a lot of games recently because they're using like, I think it's because they're using this very, very cheap anti-aliasing algorithm because everyone's got a hard-on for anti-aliasing, where basically what it does is it'll take like the next frame and the previous frame in a series and just average them together. And that's like a cheap way of anti-aliasing your screen to make it look smoother. But what it does is if you have something moving across the screen, it totally blurs it. So when you're turning and like the whole world is turning, like you're just seeing this blurry mess. Like I can't see where I'm driving.
Are very adamant about this.
You got to see where you're driving. Like one thing that really pisses me off is that with all these next gen games, they are emphasizing the still screen quality over the actual like moving picture quality, and that's just totally the wrong priority in my opinion.
You don't like the motion blurs?
What's the point of a motion blur? You can't see anything. Like, oh, look, there's this big smudge traveling across the screen. That's great. I'm sure
it makes it feel faster.
Yeah, I'm sure you're using all of those megaflops to like produce this gigantic smudge on the screen. Like, oh, well, let me focus my eye on that like I can in real life. Oh no, I can't do that because it's motion blur to hell.
Okay, so
all right,
I'm done. You've got some issues with the game, but actually overall, you liked it.
No, it's fun. I like it. It's fun.
When did you
understand? We're giving these critiques as constructive criticism to let you know what he doesn't like, so that you can remove them and have only the good, creamy goodness.
No, let me say something positive. Okay, you know the thing that I love about these games in general, and what the Colin McRae and Dirt really captures.
I thought you were gonna comment on my hair.
Is this? Well, you know, I am staring at your hair. Is that? You know, I just love this feeling that you're driving and you just get this where the F am I driving to feeling. You know, you don't know what's going to come next. It could be totally unexpected. You know, you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. That's just a very nice feeling to have when you're driving.
That, on the other hand, actually pisses me off. So there's things in this game that you don't like that I like.
That's the
car moving off center.
That's the essence of rally racing, really. It's not knowing what's going to come next and kind of like, you know, well, do I push it a little bit?
Yeah, but the result is always me in the woods.
Well, you have to have skill too, you see.
Well, I guess that's where my issue comes in.
Anyway, I'm done with Dirt. That was my little spiel.
Well, I was going to ask you, when did you find the time to play this game between your 170 hours of Oblivion?
Yeah, actually, I stopped playing Oblivion
in order
to play it. Just after the 170 hours.
Oh.
Once I found out that the game was totally broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ara basically exploited the game.
I'm not going to get into
like
that.
The last week.
Any game that I think allows you to increase stats and allows you to play forever, you can probably essentially break.
Although you could say, you know what, like after 170 hours, like, okay, like maybe the kid was like, Ara, you played it too much. Like, you can stop now. And maybe the only way of making me stop is to actually, like, reveal to me these totally game-breaking features.
Well, yeah, but it didn't break until 170 hours.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. So,
that's
so you know,
that's a lot of playtime.
Yeah, that's a little too much.
I wonder if people are at all curious about what this gameplay element really is.
They'll never find out.
Well, you know, you can email us or whatever, and we'll tell you.
Yeah, you can do that. All right, so we're going to go to break. We will be back right after this.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. That's right, we talk about video games here, not the gambling games or board games, or maybe sometimes board games.
Board games when they're made into video games.
But definitely not gambling. You know, whatever.
Or gambling when they're turned into video games.
It's funny, when people who don't know about the game industry talk about gaming, like it's like associated with gambling. Like gaming is gambling. I always thought that was
that's because
weird.
That's the good, the nice way of talking about gambling.
Gaming.
So it doesn't sound like something addictive.
Right. Well, you know.
All right. So that's
a nice
Ara
way
on
of
the
talking
mic.
About video games too.
My name is Alon. Over there is Rich. And before
Hello.
we continue again, I want to remind everybody to head over to uat.edu. That's the website that belongs to the University of Advancing Technology.
And I want to remind everybody to give us a call 866-536-1100.
We say that. I've just given up. We have our chatters. And they're just too afraid to call in and talk about stuff. Now, one
they're
of the
typing.
Things, we were just talking about Dirt, a car racing game that Ara actually likes, believe it or not, regardless of the fact that he was critiquing some elements in it. Before the show started, Rich and I were talking about Project Gotham 4 and how Bizarre, or is it Bizarre Creations?
I don't know.
Yeah, you got it right.
Bizarre
Creations.
Bizarre Creations, right? Yeah. They're the company behind the Project Gotham
Project
games.
Project Gotham Racing.
And more importantly, Geometry Wars. But they recently decided to talk about how the DVD isn't enough space for their game, which is funny because Sony's the one who's on the big kick about putting games on Blu-ray and how
the Blu-rays.
Next generation needs Blu-ray.
Talladega Nights!
Yeah, well, when you want arbitrary amounts of space, no finite amount will be enough. So
well,
there.
What bugged me is that, and we mentioned this after E3, that they said they're talking about how important it is to have Blu-ray games, and then they also talk about having a game that will come out on Blu-ray also be downloadable through the PlayStation Network, which means it's going
to
be a, like
you
a,
need
no
to have
more
Blu-ray.
Than a gig, but you absolutely have to have a 50 gig Blu-ray.
Yes.
So anyway, that bugs me. But now Bizarre, who's a company that's essentially Microsoft only, although
yeah.
Geometry Wars is going to come out on other systems now, but previously they've been Microsoft
yep.
only, and they're coming out and saying that the DVD really wasn't enough space.
Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of weird.
Rich was all up in arms about
here's
this.
Here's the thing about this. One thing interesting, too, is the like Ara was saying that they're adding all these racing games are having more content in it, and they added motorcycles for PGR4. I don't know why, but you got to have motorcycles now.
You know why?
Cars weren't good enough. We need
yeah.
bikes.
No, this is the marketing thing. Okay, without making a judgment about it, I will merely explain it to you. X amount of people like cars. Y amount of people like bikes. If you put cars in your game, X people will buy it. But if you put cars and bikes, then X and Y people will buy it.
Okay.
Yes.
But anyways, let's just side.
That's
topic.
Why I put cars and bikes and Pokemon into all my games.
Well, clearly that's the route that the industry needs to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pokemon racing in Project Gotham.
Well, hasn't that happened yet?
Yes, I can't wait. But they said the DVD isn't large enough for what they want to do. They want to have day and night tracks. Mind you, the game has like a bunch of cities. It's got cars, it has motorcycles, it has weather effects, it has all this stuff in it. But they can't do day and night for all the tracks. They have to do one or the other. Because apparently the way they do day and night is they make a completely different set of textures. And they can't fit double the amount of textures on a DVD. So I'm thinking, like, that's a pretty ridiculous excuse to say you can't fit it on a DVD because It's like, okay, it's daytime in this level, and when it's nighttime, we need to use a completely different texture for not as bright, or, you know, like different lighting. Like, yeah, wouldn't you just turn the sun off and then put a bunch of street lamps? Obviously, it's not that simple, and I was talking to Ara before the show, but like, why wouldn't they just develop a better lighting system than make twice as many high-res textures? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me, because other games do it. Like, I play Half-Life 2, I've played Oblivion. I know in Oblivion, the game slowly goes to nighttime, and maybe somewhere in there, all the textures completely switch.
You know why? Because
they
put so much focus on the graphics of the actual vehicles, they need to make them absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
and
apparently.
This isn't the first game to do it. The Gran Turismo games do this as well.
I don't know if all of them do, but...
And it's... You're driving so fast. It's like, I can't imagine
when your car's in front of you, it's very...
The car texture is very... They're saying the levels. The textures of all the buildings in a level, there's a lot more of them than the textures on the car. I'm sure they could do the textures on the car in a relatively small data space compared to the entire level. But like, when
you want to know the reason why that they won't tell you, and I'm completely...
They're just making up a bullcrap excuse.
Well, no, they could be, but... And you know, I'm making this up as well. Okay,
we're speculating.
Just a disclaim. But, you know, probably what it sounds like to me is that, you know, their code base, right, their graphics engine, all this other stuff, hasn't really been built from the ground up to accommodate things like, you know, completely procedural lighting. And so probably the easiest way for them to implement day and night is to do, you know, actual different textures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just speculating, right?
I mean, that's what they said they did for Project Gotham Racing 3.
Right, and they're probably using the same code base, right?
And they would probably have to revamp
everything.
They're using the same engine.
I'm saying. So they have to probably rewrite everything. As you guys know, we don't Scott's no times to make our games, like I said in the beginning of the show, right? So they have to find the fastest way to do something. And since they already have this code base that will support certain things and will not support other things, it's too risky for them to say, like, oh, well, let's try to do a system that's completely procedural, you know, that does all this other lighting. Because then, like, you're taking processor time away from other things you want to do with it. And
as we've discussed in the past, there's lots of factors that all affect each other, right? So you can have high quality, but it's going to take a long time, or it's going to take a lot of money, right? Or both, right? And so the thing is, it's really easy to make high quality textures if you don't care about the size involved, mm-hmm. and you know, you have an artist. But you could make the whole game take up 4 megs probably, if you made the entire thing procedural.
Yeah.
And there are people who've made like whole first person shooters in less than a megabyte or 100K
or something.
Yeah,
it's like 500 kilobytes, and there's like a whole...
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
So anyway, you can do it if you're a really good programmer and want to build everything procedurally.
Yeah.
But it's much more difficult to actually make something look good, and they're looking for incredibly high quality
Let me put it this way. It's like, let's say you're building a bridge, right? Like, everything you do about making this bridge is like, it's a trade-off, right? So if you use... I don't know how they make bridges, but I mean, so this is going to be stupid.
Yeah,
but,
so why are we talking about bridges?
You know, it's an analogy. So it's like, you know, if you say, oh, you know, I'm going to use like a lot of brick because I like the way the brick looks, right? Let's say you have a hard on for bricks or something.
Uh-huh.
Then like, okay, well, that's one thing, right? But then I put all these bricks together and they're too heavy, right? So the bridge is going to fall apart, so I can't use too many. When a lot of these engines were built, along with this code base was established, I don't think that they planned. It wasn't really planned that far ahead,
mm-hmm.
right? As far as like, oh, well, you know, we're going to want to use this for the next like 5-10 years or whatever. So, you know, we're going to build it that way. Right? So like a lot of what they have to work with, my point is that it's pretty idiosyncratic.
They're just making excuses.
Well, it's it's not that they're making excuses. It's just
you have to build from the ground up to make a major change.
Yeah.
Call of Duty 4, they said, work from the ground up. And
that game looks
totally different.
Freaking sweet.
Yeah. So I was going to transition this whole discussion into saying, well, now I bet what they're going to do is offer day and night tracks as downloadable content. And that would transition us into talking about how ludicrous some of the downloadable content is on PlayStation 3.
Very hard difficulty.
$3. Rich and I discovered this week, and I think we're going to save that topic for next week. So hopefully you'll return to us next week. Remember, everybody, we're going to be at PAX the end of this month, so you should definitely go there and hopefully try out to be in the Chatterbox Treasure Box game show, which we're currently getting prizes for. If you or your company want to donate prizes for the show, please contact me, Alon, at chatterboxgameshow.com. We'll be back next week.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.